Good morning, good evening, whenever, wherever you may be listening from. I am John Vogel, and welcome into the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, which is the best place for you to start your podcast. So you can get more info about Anchor later on in this show. There will be an ad that will be running that pretty much summarizes everything that you can do with Anchor and all the perks to getting your podcast and getting it started with Anchor. Anyways, hope everybody's had a great week so far. It is Friday. We're finally getting into the swing of things. Some bad news on a non-sports front, but is relevant here in America today, is that President Donald Trump and his wife, Melania, have both tested positive for coronavirus. And they will be quarantining for a couple of weeks. So we will see what will happen. I've seen multiple people say that he is not sick. He's asymptomatic and he's fine. He's not, they're both going to be okay. But that was the news this morning. Kind of pretty sad. And I woke up and saw that. But let's get into some other stuff, because we're not going to spend a lot of time on sports today. And the reason that is because our guest today is Zach Moore, who has a really interesting story that we're going to talk about on the show. Now, let's start out with a little bit about sports, and we're going to talk about what happened last night in the NFL game, obviously. This is one of the big topics in sports right now. And that's the fact that the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets played a football game last night that no one really cared about. Both teams are 0-3. Both teams are going to be at the bottom of their divisions and probably in the top 10 drafting this next year with just how poor both of these teams have looked. But there was a bright spot for the Denver Broncos. It's their backup quarterback. Brett Rippon, out of Boise State, second-year player, had a pretty solid game. And there were a lot of people that, like me, that really liked him in college and didn't quite understand why he was undrafted coming out and why he never got his chance. He got his chance last night, and he looked pretty good for the most part. Now, it's the end of the game, I know, right, that people care about out of this. And here's why. Because at the end of the game, with 13 seconds left to go, it was 4th and 18. The Broncos are winning by 9 and trying to run as much of the clock out as they possibly can. They cannot take a knee here. They will turn the ball over. So they drop back to throw a long pass concept. And they try to push the ball down the field, out of reach of any defenders. What ends up happening is he takes a pretty dirty hit from a couple free Jets rushers. A penalty is called, but it is not on the hit. It is an offside. So it's a 5 yards. We're going to redo it with 9 seconds from 4th and 13. And so the Broncos take, the offense takes the field again, and this time Rippon takes another nasty hit, this time helmet to helmet. That was called, I believe it was called for roughing. Back-to-back plays where the New York Jets just put hits on the quarterback, who happens, Brett Rippon is not just a backup, Brett Rippon is a third-string quarterback. And you have to remember, Drew Lock is recovering right now from injury. Obviously, the Broncos were pretty pissed that they would put dirty hits on a quarterback on a short week. And he got onto the field, and he told his players, go straight to the fucking locker room. His words. They went straight to the locker room, didn't shake hands at midfield, and that's been the main story. But I think something that you're gonna see get spun out of proportion is, first off, those hits were incredibly dirty. They were nasty. It was undoubtedly done just to try to fluster a young quarterback at the end of a game, which they had really no point in doing. You're down by 9. You're not gonna win this game. There's no way that you can get 9 points on a single possession. And by the time you get the ball back, it's going to be 4 or 5 seconds left to go. So, yeah, you're not going to win this game. You could throw a Hail Mary and maybe go for 2 points, but you're still down by 1. So just the fact that you would put hits on the quarterback as nasty, and it was clear that they were doing this. That's the problem with this issue. The next problem is that the Jets defensive coordinator is Greg Williams. And Greg Williams was famously associated with the Bountygate scandal with the New Orleans Saints, where he was placing bounties on certain opposing players, where if one of his defenders could remove a player from a game because of injury, the guy that hurt him got a bonus, a cash bonus. And Greg Williams was doing this under the table, was suspended for an entire year and some other stuff. But he's been back in the league for a few years. He's floated around, I believe, with the Rams. I think he ended up, I know he was with the Cleveland Browns. He was the interim head coach there. And now he's with the Jets. This is his second year as their defensive coordinator. So that's the next thing that came up, is Steve Smith on NFL Network, shortly right after the game, basically accused Greg Williams of this dirtiness and said this is who he is. And there's not much you can do to argue with that, because you've seen that with all of his defenses. His defenses are vicious and they do dirty, nasty things. And this is another example of that. So that's you're what you're going to see spun out of proportion is the fact that Vic Fangio did not go to midfield to shake the dude's hand. I mean, I saw 10 videos scrolling Twitter briefly, trying to find one video where it showed the two hits. And that's the deal. You know, that's what you're going to see get spun out of proportion and be like, well, Vic, he didn't go shake this man's hand. Yeah, I don't think I would have either in that situation. Knowing all that I know and what I just told you. Regardless, that's our big news in sports. This conversation we have with Zach is lengthy. It was a very good conversation, but I think it is long. So we're going to go ahead and take a break right here on the show. When we come back, we're going to get into Zach and his interview, and just the different stuff that we're going to talk about over there with, you know, cancel culture and sports, how it's not even really all about sports. And that's the sad thing. But all of that coming up next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show presented by Anchor. Today, our special guest joins us, Zach Moore, who is the author of Caponymics, a very good book, by the way. If you haven't read it, you need to. Zach is joining us from Texas. How are you doing tonight, Zach?
I'm good, man. I just got done with some jujitsu this afternoon, coming off my first professional grappling match. Fucked up my neck, but got back to training a little bit today and feeling good. And just had another good day and beautiful day here in Austin. So everything's good. How about you?
Things have been pretty solid. I apologize. I pushed this back a little bit.
Don't worry. You're
Awesome.
good. I had, dude, I just had, I got to have brisket, pulled pork. Dude, my day is going fantastic.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So I reached out to you a couple months ago
Yeah.
about potentially getting on this show, because the big topic that I really wanted to be able to talk with you on here about was your book.
Yes.
So go ahead and fill people in on what the scoop is with this book. First off, I guess I should probably say that the book is awesome. It's a great.
The first one, yeah. Now we're on the second
Right.
edition.
The recap of just being able to go through how teams build their salary caps and what the successful teams all have in common, I think is very eye-opening, and it really changes your perspective during the offseason when you're watching the rosters come together. So let's talk about that second edition, and what all is going on with that.
Right, so the first book is called Caponomics: Building Super Bowl Champions. And if you really want to get into like the salary cap and the numbers side, like you can start with that book. But as an author and as a creative, you know, that's a book that I wrote 3 years ago now. So, and now I got to write a second edition, and I feel like the second edition is really killer. I feel like I did a really solid job. I took basically what was in that first edition. I added some historical context so people understand how the game of football became the game that it is today. I add in, you know, it's all the stuff that the original one had, you know, how you build your roster, the draft, free agency, how you should allocate resources for each position, things of that nature. And then I go further and I get deeper into analytics on this book. And then at the end, I go further into, hey, here's where the game stands now. Here's where it's going in the future. And you see, you know, for instance, I talk about play action. I talk about motion. I talk about these things that have been ideas that have been around for a long time. And we're seeing the analytics start to show that these are things that really good organizations are using a lot, like smart coaches are using a lot, not just teams that are doing well, but like, you know, it's also like, oh, Bill Belichick's utilizing something like that. You know, the Titans last year used a lot of play action to make Ryan Tannehill more efficient. Kevin Stefanski with the Vikings, the Vikings used a lot of different personnel, maybe, you know, like personnel is another big one. We're trying to figure out how to put bodies that don't match up with how a conventional NFL defense is being constructed in today's day and age. And when the NFL-based defense essentially becomes nickel with five defensive backs, if you're a team that can go big, you might put yourself in a position that you've created a mismatch just by putting a certain body on the field. And so that this second edition of my first book is called Caponomics, How NFL Champions Are Built and Dynasties Are Destroyed. And the reason why you and I couldn't get on a podcast a few months ago was because I was having my own little legal issue with my original publisher, Triumph Books, and my book will now be on the 451project.com because I am celebrating the fact that I got quote-unquote canceled. I got to keep my entire advance. I got to keep the rights to my book. And most of all, I got to keep my rights to my favorite thing, which is talking shit about stuff like this. And, right, you know, I mean, that's my favorite thing. I mean, I'm a jiu-jitsu guy here in Austin. I go to 10th Planet Austin. Anyone who knows 10th Planet knows Eddie Bravo. He's a conspiracy guy. He's the look into a guy. He's the guy that's on Rogan talking about crazy shit, talking about the earth. Maybe what if the earth is flat? Because he's just trying to get you to question everything. So, you know, I'm around unique people and, you know, I never wanted to play the game that you and I both started to see is the game of sports media, which is, I mean, dude, some of these outlets are hiring people that don't have a lick of talent, but they have the right opinions, right? I mean, they got the he, him in the bio. They got the, you know, they got their pronouns out there. They've got, you know, when a school shooting happens, they say, let's go get the guns, and they go. When COVID happens, they say, let's get everyone to stay inside. When BLM happens, they say, let's go burn it all down. So they've got their crew of retards. Let's just call them what they are, right? So you know, you and I vibe on this because, you know, you had your own thing with what's that little twat's name? Steven Ruiz.
twat, and, okay.
Yeah, twat. Fuck him, dude. You know. So we've got people along those lines that, you know, start their little issues because let's be honest, Steven writes for USA Today. USA Today, as I know, doesn't allow people to share alternative opinions. I have a friend who was writing for USA Today. He was not going to be allowed to say anything anti-COVID lockdown. You know, there's no anti-BLM stuff. And as you and I both know, BLM is a terrorist organization. It has been burning cities down for 4 months now. It has been attacking people. It has been attacking people who are just having dinner. It's been attacking old people who are leaving the RNC. And we also know that it's aligned with Antifa. And that's exactly how I lost my publishing deal, because I pointed out that BLM and Antifa had the same lawyers. And in having the same lawyers, they had this bailout fund that all these people in sports media were donating money to and celebrating that they were donating money to this fund, even though anyone with a half a fucking brain understands that every single one of these protests, I put that in quote, seems to end in violence. It's been going on since Ferguson. So, you know, you and I, everyone listening to this, everyone agrees that, you know, one you know, scenario of someone of any color getting brutalized by the police is too many. We all understand that. We all, as a culture, we all have come to grips with that. We all have come to grips with the videos we've seen. But, you know, BLM doesn't really even stand for that shit anymore anyway. I mean, when Colin Kaepernick took the knee, I said, I was excited because I've actually pursued trying to figure out ways into dealing with the issue of police brutality, because I feel like the war on drugs should be finito, done. I feel like there's no point to it. I feel like, you know, and actually, to the credit of the other side, you start to understand some of the point to the war on drugs is so that, you know, you can get homeless people off the street and in jail after they've been arrested a dozen times for using meth and maybe clean up the street, whatever. I mean, you know,
right.
Living in Austin, you kind of see how that kind of plays out, because you hear friends coming, you know, being at a jiu-jitsu gym, you know, in Austin, I've got friends moving here from New York and moving here from California. So I have a pretty wide base of knowledge, which is another reason why I felt so free to speak out about stuff like this, because what you and I see with the people that we interact with every day, and what people on woke sports media and in other places and in media project out onto the world is not real. It's just the opinion of essentially a bunch of white people who hang around with white people, talk to white people on Twitter, and think that they understand how the world works because they have, like, you know, they've got the right opinions. And these are the opinions that their employers say that they're allowed to say. These are the opinions that are going to allow them to keep being employed in this manner. And frankly, a lot of them don't have the talent to go out and make a coherent, you know, make a business out of their name, make a business out of what they had to say, because it's just word fodder. It's just clicks. It's just, and you start to realize that through COVID is that when everyone ran out of stuff to talk about, they all just went all in on the crazy shit and the woke stuff. And, you know, really it's all about peddling hate at the end.
Let's clarify a couple things real quick, because you briefly touched on it, and I think that there will be some listeners that I have that don't know about this. So you had a deal
with
Triumph Books to publish this second edition.
Yeah.
And they backed out because you said things that was not alt-left.
Right.
And pointed out some facts that had already been proven that, you know, obviously the media doesn't want you to hear about.
Right. Yeah, precisely. I mean, dude, the email, the letter, whatever, the we're going to cancel the contract letter they sent, it was basically because I shared an article from Breitbart. I mean, that was literally, we don't like the sources that you're sharing. So it's like, you're not even allowed to share Breitbart. I guess they say it's like an I guess they were trying to say I was being anti-Semitic or something, because the article mentioned George Soros, who, that this is no longer conspiracy territory. George Soros is no longer conspiracy territory. But the article mentioned it, but that wasn't the main point of it. The main point of it was there were two tweets. There's a tweet from the Minnesota Freedom Fund saying to call the National Lawyers Guild. And then there is also a tweet from New York City Antifa to call the National Lawyers Guild if you are arrested. And now the National Lawyers Guild is a group that was started in like the 1920s, communist front group. And, you know, they were basically the people that were involved in bailing all these people out and of jail. And, you know, it's just, it's, and as we all know, I mean, we were watching things. I mean, we're watching people burn down cities, and people on football Twitter are celebrating that they're donating to bail people out. And it's like, what do you think you're bailing out? Who do you think you're bailing out? Do you think they're bailing? You think you're like bailing out like Rosa Parks, dude? Like who, like, or do you think you're bailing out like some fucking 21-year-old white kid with purple hair and a crazy look in his eyes because he's just trying to figure out how to get more meth?
I think the thing that's been really interesting, you know, through this entire experience, you know, getting to know you a good bit as, you know, we start interacting on social media, Twitter, and getting to know each other, because we're both in the same boat.
Yeah.
The really interesting thing is that it has nothing to do with sports at this point.
No.
And the fact that your sports opinions, you know, a lot of the time don't matter, because of your political opinions, or because you don't stand with this certain group that everyone else is standing with around you. And I think that's where we started to lose our identity in America, you know? So that's the biggest issue that I have with this entire thing.
Yeah. I think it's a really big issue
to do with sports.
Yeah. No one covering the people that are covering sports aren't there because they're the best at covering sports. I mean, I've now written a second book that essentially, you know, to speak of one of the websites that doesn't allow people to share alternative opinions, Pro Football Focus. They're a great data analytics website, but they not only do they not allow conservatives to share their, and conservative's now a broad term. Conservative is basically anyone who doesn't believe in the mainstream orthodoxy that you're supposed to say, you know, you're basically conservative if you don't, if you don't tweet out support for Black Lives Matter after a week of rioting, right? I mean, now you're basically alt-right. We all know how it is. Jordan Peterson gets called a Nazi. Joe Rogan gets called names. Like, these aren't people that are acting in good faith, right? But essentially, if you are not a part of the cult, if you're not a part of the religion, because that's what it is. It's a religion. It's a cult. It's a kind of a corporate cult of some kind where, because all of corporations have these restrictive speech policies that only go one way because they only want their employees to be saying things that sound nice. And coincidentally, a lot of left-wing things sound nice, but people don't really realize. A lot of people are realizing right now, though, Jason Whitlock's writing about it a lot, is that the things that they say they're for and what they're actually for are actually diametrically opposed. I just talked to a friend of mine on the Curious Jones podcast and my second appearance on there. And, you know, we were talking about this very topic is that, like, you know, and we were also talking about the kind of idea, like, they only use the Constitution when they can use it against the actual means of the Constitution, right? Like, they're private corporations. Twitter can do whatever they want. And, you know, these are, you know, there, but then there are consequences if you work for your job and you share the opinions we don't like. And it's like, no, like, you guys are really communists. Like, when you get the mob mad at you, right? And I got all these fucking soft white people tweeting at me about how mad they are. I had people tweeting at me like, I hope you're eating out of a garbage can next week and stuff like that. You know, it's like Eric Eager's followers or Steven Ruiz's followers. And, you know, your followers reflect you, and your most fervent followers reflect you. And those are the kind of people that they've cultivated within their community through sharing these nonsense opinions for so long. And what you realize is that they look at China and they envy China. China just gets to kill people who disagree with them. But the reality of the modern left, right? And it's not the foot soldiers, even though the foot soldiers don't really know what they're doing. The foot soldiers are mostly just mad at their dad because their dad didn't hug them enough. You know, and you can't be mad at them, you know. I just lean into it, bro. I've kind of leaned into it. Leaned into my new WWE persona, I guess, as it were. But
at this point, you almost have to.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I don't give a shit, man. I don't care. I've got a great community of people. Like, jiu-jitsu is what allows me to not care. I'm at one of the best gyms in the country. I've got my own podcast now with my teammates and people who come through. And the people who come through is just going to keep growing. I mean, we're right down the street from Rogan. The people who come through are just going to continue to be more, higher and higher level MMA people because it's a combination of the area that we're in, the social movement right now of people leaving California and New York, two hubs for martial arts, the gym that we've built and the position that I'm in with the podcast, 10PATX chats. So 10th Planet Austin chats. And, we've got a big guest coming on in the next week or so. Big fighter. And, but it's just like, you know, I lean into that. I mean, I love my community there. I hang around real people, which is part of why I've kind of just been like, I don't want to play this game with these people. So I'm going to be the outlaw, man. Like, and I got no problem being the outlaw, bro. Like, I don't, you know, it's all good with me. And it's, you know, it really isn't about sports for these people. And that's why sports are kind of, in a sense, feeling the brunt of these last 6 months, is that a lot of people have tuned out.
They have. And you see that across the board with the NBA ratings. And you see that, you know, I mean, the NFL, not as much right now. I think the NFL has done a good job after the week one, just keeping a lot of the politics out. I mean, the mask mandates and stuff definitely pissed a lot of people off that I know.
Yeah.
With fining coaches ridiculous, ungodly amounts of money for not wearing a mask during a game that there's no fans at.
You know, yeah, and so, when everyone's tested as well, so everyone's been tested like a bunch of times too.
Right, and it's almost absurd, but especially since you've got 53 guys that are on that sideline right now, nobody's wearing masks.
Right.
You know, so it's like, if you're gonna pick up something, you're gonna pick it up, and that's just how it is. You're in a controlled environment with these people, but that's beside the point. Yeah, we've seen this across the board with a lot of sports. The MLB is hurting bad, and they're having the craziest playoff format they've ever had, and they're not getting to really enjoy it, the fruits of that, because of the movement that they pushed. And they, you know, they got all the people, the Black Lives Matter people, and, you know, all the woke people, they all jumped off of that bandwagon because it happened for a couple of days across the MLB, and it disappeared. So it pissed all those people off. You know, so
yeah.
Keep it's going. Like, this is part of this crowd, this woke media mob cannot be, you can't appease them. You can't do anything right to them as long as you keep going with what you're doing. And by doing that, and by standing with them all the time, you shut yourself out from the rest of the world.
And that number of people who agree with BLM continues to shrink because people who are adults have realized that it's just a cool saying. I mean, I joke around with friends that ISIS should change their name to Trans Baby Lives Matter or something, because it's just like, how many idiots can you get to support this? And that's all they are, really, man. Like, I'm using harsher language than I have previously, but I want people to understand, if you're a nice person, I love you. If we run into each other, I'm going to be super nice to you. I'm nice to everyone I interact with. But when I see you continuously pushing false things and believing in a movement that is one of the most hateful movements, that, and you're just, you don't care about the literature, you don't care about this racist critical race theory stuff that they're pushing, and you have shown that you want to be engaged in the political process enough to share these inane, stupid opinions, but you're not going to actually research behind it. I mean, and I said this on the other podcast I was on today, that, like, if I was black and you supported the KKK and you were my friend, I'd be like, what are you doing? But, so I have that same feeling for someone who's supporting this movement, this BLM or this critical race theory kind of movement, because when it boils down to it, James Lindsay is on top of this, Christopher Rufo is on top of this, and critical race theory is just like this thing that pushes, that basically it pushes that everything through the lens of oppressor and oppressed. And if you're a white person, you're an oppressor. And I'm not an oppressor. I'm a nice guy. So you don't just get to call me that. But if you're supporting that movement, I gotta use harsh language with you, because at some point you have to be an adult and face things for what they are, and recognize that, you know, someone is preying on your good intentions, because that's really one of the main factors as well, which is why I say, like, I gotta be rough with my language around it. But I, you know, whoever you are, I've got love for you. You are just being taken advantage of. And what you need to understand is that they're actually taking advantage of your good heart. They're taking advantage of your good intentions. And they're taking advantage of the fact that, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, you are precisely what communists always seeked out, which was progressive dupes. And they've been doing this for almost 100 years. Where they're seeking out people who will latch in, believe in what they're saying unquestionably, and go along with the movement, because in the end they are actually for the opposite of what they say they're for, but they use the proper language to get people involved. And one of the things from a 1943 Communist Party, it was like a a mailer that they sent out, or like a, you know, they basically, it was a directive. It was a directive. That's the proper word. They sent out, it said, when people become an issue for you or for our movement, we need to label them with names that have a bad smell to them. Racist, this ist, whatever, you know, all the ists and the phobes and all that stuff. And we watched that play out now at a hyperspeed level since really in a big way since Obama came into office. And that was really what the division was in terms of him as a president. A lot of people looking, oh, he was a great figurehead, and he was super presidential and all of this stuff. But no, he wasn't presidential. He injected race everywhere he could. Him and his party implied that whoever disagreed with him and his Marxist policies and his Marxist beliefs. I mean, the guy, his grandfather or his mentor was a card carrying communist, Frank Marshall Davis. He started his career at the home of Bernadine Dorden and Bill Ayers, two people who were a part of Weather Underground, an organization that tried to blow up the Pentagon. I mean, what we're seeing play out in the street is not a bug. It's the feature. It's the primary feature of this ideology, and it's reaching its end stage where either it overthrows the government or it loses. And it's that simple. And what I was saying about the 1943 directive is that, you know, they put those labels on people, but then they also hide behind, and they say this, they say, then we hide behind groups that have names like anti-fascist, or they're anti-racist or whatever. You know, so it's part of what this movement's about, and it's part of what we're seeing play out, and it's been going on and planning and planned for years, because communists have always understood that they could dig at race as an issue in this country, because rightfully so, we have reasons to be ashamed about racial history. So does every nation. But unlike most nations, we also have this Constitution and this Bill of Rights that leftists hate. They use the very decency within that is that Bill of Rights is, or, you know, the Constitution and these amendments are what we seek as our highest self as a culture. So if we think someone's being oppressed or we're not living up to that ideal, we feel ashamed of it. So they play into that. They infiltrate, you know, our emotions and our feelings, and they get enough people to. And by the way, too, when you own, you know, every major cultural institution, in terms of ideologically, you've got Hollywood, you've got legacy media, you've got academia, you've got every multinational corporation in Silicon Valley who's also trying to make money in China. But that's an hour long conversation we can have another day.
Right.
And then you got the NBA, who, you know, is also willing to not just bend one knee in China, but they'll bend both knees for China, and they'll go balls deep too. LeBron will do it for $1 billion. He'll do it, and you know, he's making $1 billion from Nike. And Nike uses slave labor, and then he wants to lecture me here. I mean, dude, shut the fuck up and dribble. You're stupid. You know, like, your opinions are not valid. None of your opinions have been valid ever since the Hong Kong thing. But they own these cultural institutions, and sports is the final frontier. And there are a bunch of things within sports in terms of, you know, the media climate that you and I just described. Athletes who don't really know what they're talking about. I mean, LeBron James probably has no real understanding of what he's talking about in some level, or he's so diabolical that he understands what he's doing and the kind of hatred he's fomenting and creating. I don't know about Colin Kaepernick either, but I do know in August, him and LeBron pretended that the BLM movement and all that was about love. And in May, right after George Floyd, he said it's time for retaliation. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of inflammatory shit being spoken by people who don't really know what they're talking about, and we're educated. You know, athletes aren't exactly getting an engineering degree. You know, they're getting pushed through classes. Myself being an athlete, I'm not speaking out of turn. You know, I played football in college. So, you know, we've got a bunch of things, and sports is the last piece of the culture that they're trying to own. And what they're finding is that in their attempt to own it, they're rejecting, like, much of America is rejecting what they have to say.
I know that you've got things to do tonight, Zach, so I appreciate you taking the time, but I will leave you with these final words, you and the listeners. There's a very wise man that once told me, something that stuck with me most of my life. And he said, the devil quotes scripture.
Yes. Yes.
And that's the strategy here that I think that you're describing. I think that perfectly synopsis everything that you just said.
Yeah, that's precise, man. I mean, because one of the other things, too, as I talk about openly is like, you know, I was addicted to pills. I had my issue with them. And what I equated it to recently is like, you know, this short term gain of that party that, you know, that our culture produces, you know, the short term dopamine hits of social media. You know, when you look at people on social media that are just saying the right things and they're getting the clicks, they're getting the likes, and then Twitter is sending you messages. What did Mike Freeman say today? I don't give a fuck what Mike Freeman said today. But Twitter's always sending me an email like, hey, what did Mike Silver say today? But the reality is everything's kind of been crafted to push this all narrative. So, and I think that devil point's really key is that, like, you know, when you really have seen the devil and you see that the devil can, you know, Percocet feels like a warm hug from Jesus. Like, like it feels like the greatest feeling in the world. But if you keep doing it, you're going to ruin your life because that short term gain isn't reality. It's terrible for you. You know, the long term process, that godly sort of vision, that long term eternal vision for your life is really the proper way. And a lot of these guys are selling hate. They don't know they're selling hate, but it's working for them because a lot of our cultural institutions have been set up to promote these ideas because they're pretending they're doing God's work when in reality they're doing the work of the devil.
Fantastic stuff as always, Zach. I appreciate you for taking time to come on tonight.
Hey, later, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back into the John Vogel Show. I think we're going to get into just a few little things here before we part on this episode and go our separate ways. There's a couple things that I think really need to come up. Following our conversation here with Zach. Zach, I've gotten to know just, you know, simply for being in the same boat. Things kind of going down where there's a lot of accusations, kind of what I talked about with A-Marie earlier this week. It was all political. People were saying things about me that I knew weren't true. People who know me weren't true. And there was a certain sense of like, I need to defend myself, you know, from these accusations. Now, we ended up in that same boat, where we were talking about all the different things, trying to, you know, like people getting mad at us, people actually putting us together, which is always real funny. But regardless, this is what's going on in sports right now. And there's only a few media companies that this is not really affecting. And as far as I know, it's not really in 24/7 sports. You know, places like OutKick, obviously. But across the board, if you're looking at Yahoo, if you're looking at USA Today, that's something that he discussed briefly was them not having the freedom, you know, through their contracts to say things that don't, you know, so you don't have a personal opinion if you work for USA Today. You don't have an opinion if you work for ESPN. And it's like that across most of these, you know, sports media outlets and such. And that's kind of part of the issue that we have in sports right now is the fact, like he said, USA Today, you were not allowed to say anything negative about Corona. PFF has a blacklist. I'm on it. You know, so ESPN, you know, you can go look at their, you know, social media policy and their, you know, and see exactly how that limits their speech. Regardless, these are just some of the interesting things that are going on in sports that you're seeing as an attempt to infiltrate sports. And it's not conspiracy, it is it is flat out going on, and it's right before your very eyes, and you can look at this result. That's what's going on. Okay, so there are certain outlets that you're gonna see just explode. Outkick is going to explode. It is going to be so big. It is not even gonna be funny. Alright. Another one is going to probably 24/7's always done really well. They're gonna continue to do really well. They've become the elite, the premier recruiting in college football, college sports website. And they're going to continue to be because they are on top of it. And they don't let these politics, they don't let this stuff divide them. They are football. And that's what a lot of people really, really, really want. They want their sports. They don't want to be lectured. They don't want to hear, you know, about the latest social justice issues. They want to escape them. They want to escape them. They have plenty of exposure to them. Give them a sport where they don't have that. And that is where we're going to leave you today. Please check out the show, the rest of the episodes. This is season 3. It's a little bit of a different format than what we did previously. Okay, but check out the other episodes on this show. If you want to assist in the production of the show, there is a listener's button on Anchor where you can directly support me. If you like the content of the show, please share it. Please tell your friends about it. Word of mouth is the greatest way to spread things and to continue on with things. So if this is something that interests you, if this is something that you think people need to hear, people need to know about, please tell your friends that will listen all about it and how they need to check it out. And maybe they will. We are being heard right now in 8 different countries and in 20 different states. And we are continuing to grow every day. Our audience is expanding, which is great. I love to see that. You guys can get with me directly on Twitter at John D.A. Vogel. John D.A. Vogel. And the show, obviously, interact with the show at Show Vogel. Thank you all for your support. Thank you for tuning in. I'm John Vogel. This has been the John Vogel Show. We will be back next week with Justin Gamble from NFL Draft Bible talking about what this draft process looks like and probably a few other things. God love you all. Be safe in this world today. Spread that joy.